All right, Investor Plus is officially live, and it's everything you've been waiting for.
We're talking AI power networking to connect you with other investors who are serious about building their portfolio, not just dreaming about it.
You'll get access to Market Master Her, our step-by-step ebook that'll help you master any market, and an on-demand real estate fundamentals course that'll help you build your confidence. And nationwide chapter access, exclusive discounts worth over $6,000, and a 21-day meditation guide because, hey, balance is key. So many investors spend so much time analyzing deals to find out they're analyzing deals in the wrong market. And that's exactly what we're focused on in today's mini-sode edition, how to master any market. Right, Andressa?
Exactly. It doesn't matter if you're local or if you're out of state. In today's mini-sode, we're going to break down the top four recommendations that we require you to do. We're not just like, yeah, you can do it or not. No, we are telling you, listen, cover those bases and you'll be totally fine and confident about analyzing any deal. So let's get started.
Welcome to the Investor Podcast. I'm Liz Faircloth.
And I am your co-host, Andressa Gadelli.
Okay, so I'm going to jump into why understanding the micro market is so critical. And you know, we say all of this and we are giving you this information in this mini-sode because we have lived a long life in investing, but we've made the mistakes of quite honestly analyzing deals and buying properties in the wrong markets. And so all of these come from that learning. So number one is all about the micro market. We always hear markets are hyper local. And they are. That's the beautiful part about real estate. And it's also the dangerous part if you don't really understand your micro market. So let's talk about what that looks like and why it's so important. We often hear how important job growth is, right? Where are the jobs? But I need to restate it because just because it's common sense doesn't mean it's common practice. I don't know how many times people are analyzing deals in markets that there are no jobs coming to them. That is a problem for growth. That's a problem for kind of economic vitality of a community. So growth is one thing, but job diversity is something that I wish I knew. Andressa, I don't know about you, but I wish I knew when I got started in investing. So what does job diversity mean? We talk about job growth, but job diversity is even more important to mitigate your risk. So what does that look like? It looks like this. If there is even if Amazon is there and there's a major distributor, a major Amazon distributor in a particular town, but there's no other like major jobs happening and there's no other major kind of sectors, healthcare, tech, et cetera, that's a problem. Because if what happens when that particular manufacturing center or that particular company goes under? I don't think Amazon's going under, but it still makes me nervous to have one type of sector represented in a community. I like to see a diversity. So whether it's healthcare, whether it's tech, education, private, public, true diversity of jobs. Because if one goes under or one shifts away, the community is not going to go under and the jobs are not going to go under. So can't stress that enough. I think people overlook diversity of jobs and you need to look at that. We all know about crime rates and, it's so many different cities. And Andressa and I have invested many properties together and sometimes crime rates vary literally by block, right? So you need to have a finger on the pulse of not just the city. Oh, this city and this town is great from a crime perspective. No, you need to know by block, by street, if you're especially investing in a highly populated urban community, right? So that's also just important. It's overlooked. People go more on the zip code versus you need to know by block, even more specific to zip code sometimes in terms of rates.
You know what? Why is that so important? Because either my buyer or my renter is going to be looking at that and seeing, okay, how many crimes happen in my possible potential neighborhood? Where are the child offenders, the sex offenders? Where are they located? I'm not sure in other states, but in Philadelphia, you can see it where they are. There are little dots everywhere, right? So behave, go a couple steps further and think like your future buyer or your future renter, tenant. And because they are going to be looking at it. If you have a quality tenant, that is a non-negotiable for them. So be a non-negotiable for you too. So then when they go in, it's all clear from the start.
Yeah, absolutely. So the third part of really understanding your micro market is really understanding what's happening from an economic development perspective. And often we are participating in that. And that's where you're seeing growth markets. You're participating in what's already happening or what's about to happen. And that's where you see, you know, growth happening. So number one, I want to share a quick case example from Winston-Salem, North Carolina. And they had, it's a city that's always been developing, but they had an influx, I should say, $1.5 billion influx. That's quite an influx of development that happened. Used to be a tobacco town, traditional tobacco kind of town, if you will, manufacturer. And they converted an entire kind of like area of the city into an innovation quarter, right? Innovation center. So you see new businesses came, entrepreneurs, tech companies. So literally $1.5 billion went into this area, which completely transformed the city. And now this wasn't last week, right? This was about a decade ago. But the money doesn't just come in day one. When you see an enormous influx and an economic kind of influx of happening in a city, you see it over time, right? They're making this type of development. They're making this type of investment. When a city makes those kinds of investments, private companies come in, public companies come in, people are drawn, right? Jobs are increasing. So we saw a lot of movement in the city compared to other very hot markets, right? Raleigh, Durham, North Carolina is a very attractive real estate investing area. Winston-Salem is probably not as popular, if you will. But we saw some of those pieces and we saw more of an influx happening. And so about four blocks away, there was a property that came up. It was a large multifamily. And we jumped on it, and we've been able to acquire about 500 units there. We bought one for $18 million. We're actually just put it on the market yesterday, literally yesterday, at $30 million, which at the time of recording is in the middle of January 2025. So the significant increase, right, in appreciation shows that a ton of economic development happening. So what you want to look for, the bottom line for you, is that you don't need $1.5 billion happening in a city, but you need to see, is there economic development happening? Is the city investing money? Is the public sector investing money? Is the private sector investing money? Where is there movement and what does that movement look like?
And I think that the easiest way, not easy, right? Nothing is easy, but check with the city planning.
Yes.
They always have a plan for the next 10, 20 years, some cities more than that. And getting a pulse on what's coming up in all different areas that you might not be aware of can give you an edge over other investors that are just watching the news and observing what's going on from their own lenses. So that's that. So if you're somebody that is like, that's a lot, Liz, it's a lot. Do you have a checklist to give it to me? I like paper. I wanna follow. I wanna make sure that I'm covering all the bases. So yes, it's on a checklist. It's better than a checklist. Liz and I develop an ebook called Market Master, where we wish we had this when we got started years and years ago. And that's our desire, for you to really cover all the bases that you need to analyze any market, your local or out of state, and really feel confident that you're covering all the bases that you need in order to build a sustainable portfolio. And that is included on Investor Plus membership. We're going to put the link on our show notes, and you can join our community today. All right. The next thing is one of my favorite things. It's called a heat map. And back in the day, I remember literally going to Staples, buying a map.
Back in the day, you're like 95 years old.
Correct. Coloring it and making my heat map of South Philadelphia. So the way that it's done, and of course you can do that on your computer, you don't even need to print it, but you need to really get the information that you need to understand what a heat map is. So basically, you're going to identify the hot areas. Hot areas are the areas where it, at the time that I analyzed, was the, they were selling properties under 30 days. So those are great areas, not necessarily the areas that I will invest if there is low supply and high demand, right? Because then the numbers are going to be super, super tight. But if a deal comes in that area, and I know visually, I know exactly where that area is, then I am in. And the way that it looks like, it's very simple. You can do it. Looking at all the properties that were sold the past 30, 60 days. And then you start really like pointing it out. Where are they located? You're going to start forming a small area within the map, right? And then you're going to color that red because that's a hot area. The sweet spot is on the boundaries, right? On the skirts of that, which is the yellow area. The yellow area is where the growth is going, right? There are certain areas here in Philadelphia, there's no way to grow that way because there's a river there. So it's going to go the other way. So you want to be on the path of the development. That is the sweet spot. You also need to understand where are the war zones. War zones are high crime rate. You can drive past, which I highly recommend you, and you don't feel comfortable there. Will your renter or future seller be comfortable there? Which we'll talk about later, right? But those areas you need to also know, because when a deal comes in, you will know exactly, let me put a pin on this deal and see, do I even want to analyze it? No, I don't, because it's on a war zone. I am not into war zones. Some people are. I am not, because many times there's high cash flow. There's also high headaches, and I'm not into that. I want to keep my hair. So for those people that are like me, you don't want to keep analyzing so many deals. You need to understand, I want to analyze the market because it check all the boxes that Liz just mentioned to you. Now it's time to see, okay, what are even going deeper and seeing, is it on the hot area, the skirts area, or is a war zone? Then you are going to go deeper versus breaking it down and wasting a lot of time going to a deeper analysis and talking to a lender on something that it's not even your criteria. Okay, so that's the next thing. Now, you also want to consider the following, which is our third recommendation here. Invisible boundaries. It's not listed anywhere because it's invisible. It's not listed anywhere, right? And many times we learn that the hard way. So what are invisible boundaries? Invisible boundaries are the areas and landmarks, such as rivers, there are industries like companies or busy street, restaurant areas that I don't want to be close by, bridges, different landmarks that will determine where that neighborhood, quote unquote, ends. I'll give you a very specific example. In South Philadelphia, we have Broad Street. Broad Street is a long, long, long avenue that goes north to south, and it divides east from west. Many times, those have the same zip codes. That doesn't matter. And I'll give an example. So on the east side, you are in a neighborhood. Across the street on the west side, you are in a completely different neighborhood. And I learned that the wrong way, the right way, you are the judge. In 1999, no, well, I don't remember when this happened, but I had a property in South Philly that I was 100% sure, because I knew my market and I knew the invisible boundaries, that I was able to purchase, rehab, and pull money out when I refi. And I was really, really surprised when I got a letter from the lender saying, "I am sorry, you have zero equity on this property." I was like, oh my gosh. First of all, I had a mini heart attack, right? Because I'm like, whoa, what happened here? The next thing that I did was to really request a appraisal report, a copy of it, so I could understand. Number one thing, the appraiser was from Pittsburgh.
Oh, geez.
Not from Philly. All right. That is a positive thing for me because he does not know my market as I know my market. And when I looked at his report, all the comps were from where? The other side. The other side. We are in a completely different neighborhood, even though it is the same zip code, right? So he just went to the easy route and just selected a couple of things. And I was able to appeal ethically and provide background of why the comps that I was showing was more appropriate. And the ones that he was showing were multifamily vacant properties that are not comps to my property. And then I got a second letter saying, go pound sand. No, the second letter that I got was an approval of $115,000 that I was able to pull. Do you understand like how important it is to know your market? I'm not saying this to brag. I'm going to say this because when you don't know, you don't gain the knowledge about the market and strategies to appeal, the letter that you receive from your lender, it is a life sentence. And I want to tell you that you don't have to look at that as the end. It's a comma. Let's continue and see if there are mistakes and if you can appeal ethically. Andressa, I don't know how to appeal it. I don't know. I get nervous about it. Don't worry about it. Don't worry. Got your back, right? I share on our on-demand course, Real Estate Fundamentals, that is part of Investor Plus, how I did it and how can you do it as well, step by step. So again, go to our link at the bottom of this show notes and join Investor Plus today. So again, heat map, invisible boundaries, no negotiables, do it. Liz, you have the last one, right?
I have the last one. The last one is all about making sure you know exactly who you're serving, right? Who is your market's avatar? And many markets have multiple avatars. If it's like the type of market I shared earlier, like Winston-Salem or a growth market, it doesn't just have one type of person with one, you know, one age. It has multiple types of avatars. But you need to know who you're serving with which product to give them, right? And to serve them with. So let me talk a little bit about demographic information. That's pretty obvious that people are like, okay, yeah, I know demographic. But do you really know the age, right? What is it a young professional? Is it a family with children? What is the exact age of who you're serving? That matters, right? The next thing is income level. That also matters, right? Different income levels, they want different things. They have a different type of finishes palette, if you will. So that matters. You know, and I think in growth markets, you probably have a mix, but you probably have a trend that's happening and you want to be mindful of. The next piece is the family status. And that's also really helpful in demographic, because are you targeting families who want, you know, a larger home and just be close to school? Are you targeting single professionals, right? Different type of person who wants to live downtown, right? And then you have retirees who are just like so excited they kick the kids out, right? I'm like, that's what Matt and I talk about. It's like, when the kids are out of the house, you know, it's like that kind of conversation. What are you looking for? So knowing that demographic is the first part. Here's the part that most people miss when they're really trying to understand who they're looking to serve within a market. And it's the part of people that we don't always see from, you know, just their age and those sort of things. It's really their preferences, right? It's their values. It's their lifestyle. And these are the parts that are really critical, especially if you're providing housing to someone. So what does your avatar prioritize? Do they prioritize being close to restaurants? Do they prioritize being close to other types of amenities? Are they looking for more luxury? Are they looking for more practical, right? Are they focused on affordability, or they're at a stage in their life, they don't want that. They don't even need that. What do they value? Do they value being outdoors, you know, walking to town and being physically active? Or do they value, you know, kind of a quiet area of the town? Do they really value the hub and the excitement and just the loudness of a particular part of town? That all matters, right? So just give you a quick example of a project we're working on locally. It's a project we're going to be bringing, currently it's about 2,500 square foot. It's a single family home. It's right on the river. But what's unique about the fact that it's right on the river is that there's no road to get to it. It's actually on the towpath. Now you can drive on the towpath and it's sort of like a road, but that's not going to be ideal for everyone. We know that. So as we were considering this project, which we have under contract, we were saying, okay, who is the ideal avatar? And then we went through these questions that I'm asking you or recommending that you also go through. And it's a couple. It's a couple who's probably retired. They're in their 50s and 60s. They don't have young children. No young family is going to want to drive on the towpath. They got to go to Giant. They got to take the kids.
Ask them if they don't want to adopt me.
I know they're going to adopt me.
But it's just very peaceful and lovely.
It's a specific person who's actually looking for a retreat, a luxurious retreat on the river in a town that's very, you know, quite honestly, very popular and people want to be, right? So, and then you could even get more specific, you know, what are they going to need if they want to retreat? Well, they're going to need a generator. They're going to need something that sustains their home. So the point that I'm trying to make, because you can keep going and going with knowing your customer, knowing your avatar, is that you have to know how to solve their problems when they're in the house as you're building a house, right? And what they're going to be looking for. So I can't stress this enough. If you're thinking, why didn't you say this number one, knowing your customer, knowing your avatar, it actually matters when you've gone through the first three steps. Because when you really start to get a sense of, okay, what is the economic opportunity here? Number one. Okay. And then you're going through, the invisible boundaries and the heat mapping of really laser focused on where you're focused on, where there's an opportunity. Now you're like, okay, now we know where, how, who am I going to serve with where I am? So that's the thinking there. Yeah.
People might be thinking like, okay, that's great. Where do I go to find this out? Right. I'm going to give you a gold, very difficult thing for you to do to find this out. Who's your ideal avatar? It's called talking to people. It's called observation.
Yeah.
It's called go there, walk. I'm not telling you to drive. Park your car, walk. Go to the coffee shop, talk to people, observe. Oh, they all have dogs. There's dogs everywhere here. Go to the dog park. Bring your dog to the dog park. Talk to people. You're going to be seeing, oh, I just moved in. Oh, why did you move in? What did you like about it? What do you like about your house? Talk to people. Talk to neighbors. Talk to the people that are there for a long time. Go to the supermarket. Observe. You really need to understand all of those things, right? Go to the route in South Philadelphia, for example, people can hop on a subway super quickly and go downtown, right, to Center City super quickly. So there's no need for a garage. Lovely to have a garage, 100%, right? But is there a need for it? Does my avatar really, really need? No, my avatar is a younger crowd, don't need a car, don't even want a car, want to be close to majority of the item, the restaurants and having access to things like that. Now, if you're saying that my avatar is a family and their child is going to first grade, I don't think that is the right or I wouldn't say right or wrong, right? But for me, suburbs were more appropriate because of the school district, right? The school district matters for people that are single and don't have children. Not so much. They care about other things. So really, like, merging yourself or having a realtor or boots on the ground of people that already know all of this, and then have coffee with them. Oh, Andressa, but where can I find those people? Investor Plus, honey. Investor Plus. You go there, you create your own profile, customize your profile, filter, and find people by location. And find those women. You don't need to do all this work. Just do the coffee shop. You're going to enjoy it. I bet.
All right. And as always, you know, the key here is to do something with what you're learning. Take one action. You don't become an expert in markets overnight and by doing one thing. It's multiple things. So take action. Tag us on tag us within Investor Plus. That would be great. And get going with really making sure you understand your market like the palm of your hand.
Enjoy. Bye.
If you enjoyed this podcast and want to receive updates on our next interviews, go to our website, therealestateinvestor.com. There, you can subscribe to our show, become part of our investor community, and get updates on upcoming episodes.
If you like our show, please share with other women who would benefit. And don't forget to leave us a rating on iTunes. We'd really appreciate it. And as always, we encourage you to take one action as a result of today's show and put it into motion so you can live both a financially free and balanced life. Thanks for spending time with us.
Ciao.